This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on a Misery Monday, presented by Chiniga Mios, a 2022 top workplace. Visit miocareers.com. Usually we have Robert Griffin III on at 8 o'clock on Mondays, but he's on the West Coast in California for Monday Night Football as he's part of the ESPN Countdown crew. So he's going to jump on at 9:20. AM, you don't want to miss RG3 at 9:20. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, we have another pair of tickets to give away for the Capitals season opener against the Bruins, which is coming up very quickly, 9 days away. It's coming up October 12th.
Love it.
So
love
hockey
that.
Season is upon us. But we've been talking about the Commanders losing their third straight and all the offensive issues. Let's talk to Michael Phillips now, covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. He joins us on the BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So, Michael, we posed kind of a difficult question and took some calls on it. How do the Commanders turn the season around? It's 3 losses in a row, and the offense is sputtering, to say the least.
Yeah, but, you know, the running game was all right, so you start there. I thought Antonio Gibson looked good out of the gate, and you're going to get Brian Robinson back, and obviously that's a big difference maker. He can get those tough yards. I know that Jonathan Williams do it, but Brian Robinson's going to be really good at that when he gets back. But, man, you don't win in the NFL without a passing game. No, you can't do it, and they don't have a passing game right now. And you break down, is it Carson Wentz? Is it the offensive line? I think the answer is yes. It's both of them, and you saw it yesterday. Even when the running game was working, even when they were getting 5 yards on first down, breaking off some 7 and 8 yard runs, it doesn't matter ultimately because you're going to have a false start or a holding penalty. And when you get to 2nd and 15, you can't run the ball anymore. And boy, they cannot throw the ball to save their lives right now.
You know, when they don't trip over themselves and, you know, Carson doesn't miss an open guy, or they don't have a penalty, or they don't just get flat out beat. Orlovsky pointed out one play where scheme wise, there was one play there, remember, where Logan Thomas, his responsibility was to block Micah Parsons. And in that situation, in that situation, you know, like a Peyton Manning, or you don't even have to be the greatest of all time, you know, another quarterback is given the freedom to maybe audible out of that. It doesn't sound like, because Ron was asked about it, Carson has that freedom to audible out of situations where there's obviously mismatches. Now, Parsons is going to create a mismatch anywhere, but when he's going against a former quarterback, converted tight end, I mean, that change? Why won't they give him the ability to audible out of obvious bad situations?
Yeah, I'll throw a second example on the fire here, because second half, you know, they've got a 3rd and 5, I think, and the Cowboys are putting 8 in the box, and it's clear that the play was give it to Antonio Gibson, let him run up the middle.
Right.
Any quarterback at the line's got to see that and say,
right,
I got to get a hot read on the outside, Jahan, Terry,
right,
Curtis, whoever it is, I got to hit them for 5 yards because that's going to be there. Does he have the authority to do that? Is he just too gun-shy to do that? I mean, there's a real trust issue here, and I think the most glaring example was a minute left in the first half. Mm-hmm. You've got a chance to not only score points but get the ball coming back in the second half, but the risk is, if you don't succeed, the Cowboys might get the ball back, and they were not willing to take that risk. They ran 45 seconds off the clock. and then heaved up a desperation ball just to see what happened. There's no faith there in the offense.
Michael, as far as the offensive line goes, we know they parted ways with Eric Flowers before the season started. He hasn't been picked up by any other team at this point. Isn't that a guy that they should be calling? And are there other guys, you know, like a handful of guys that they should be contacting to bring in for workouts to help upgrade the line at this point? Because you can't keep trotting out the same guys and expecting different results at this point.
Yeah, the obvious answer is they got to try everything right now. Flowers, you know, trades, whatever it might be. Last week, Scott Turner, he was asked about, he said, I'm not considering changes on the offensive line. And my thought was, well, yeah, because you don't have anybody good on the bench ready to come in. Now, I thought Sadiq Charles did fine yesterday. He looked really rough in training camp in the preseason games. But he did much better on the field yesterday. So I think that was encouraging. The Trey Turner signing obviously turning out to be a bit of a bust at the moment. So, you know, it's good that they at least recognize that and try to move on from that. But one of the, you know, wasn't a sack. It was a pressure. It was third and long. Cosme, you know, is kind of beat by his guy on the three-man pressure early in the game. But Carson's running like 12 yards outside the pocket waiting for things to develop instead of stepping into it. So I think the number one priority here in the building, if you're Scott Turner, if you're Ron Rivera, is you've got to keep the line from turning on their quarterback. Like, you know, these are guys who were praised for their job last year, and you know they're thinking in the back of their heads, like, well, bring Heinicke back in, and that can be us again because he's going to slide out of a few of those. I'm not excusing them. I don't think they played well yesterday, but I think there's the very obvious potential for tension there, knowing that the quarterback is contributing to the reputation it's going to cost them money in free agency this year.
Talking to Michael Phillips, covers the Commanders for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. So in training camp, you were there watching, and everybody was saying that Carson was inaccurate for a lot of it. But could you get a sense of the pocket presence? Because through four games, it looks pretty bad.
It really does. It's a big issue, and obviously the main difference is in training camp, they're not allowed to sack the quarterback, so we got to see a lot of great downfield passes, great catches by Jahan Dotson, 20, 30-yard routes by McLaurin. Those were things that we're obviously not seeing in games because they don't have the time to develop. Setting the inaccuracies aside, we know this offense is capable of that, and we saw it against Jacksonville. But sometimes one game is all it takes in this league because it's such a copycat league. You think about it, you just one game, somebody blows up Brett Favre, end of his career, the Saints attack him, and all of a sudden he's never good again because the formula's out. I mean, the Eagles got it. You pressure him like crazy, and you make him have to throw it quickly, and apparently he can't do it. So he's going to have to figure out how to beat this because I know nobody, Micah Parsons plays for one team, and the Eagles were very good too, but they're going to face a Tennessee team that's got athletes. Chicago's got athletes on defense. They're going to have to find a way to break the pressure, or they're going to see it every week for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tennessee is in the top 10 in team sacks. They've got Rashad Weaver's got four. Bud Dupree's a very athletic edge rusher. They've got Jeffrey Simmons at defensive tackle. He's got a couple sacks. They sacked Matt Ryan three or four times yesterday. So I think you're facing the same dilemma with Tennessee as you were with the other two teams, maybe not as much, but they can get after the quarterback. And on offense, they got Derrick Henry. I mean, he's starting to put it together, and they're throwing the ball more to him now. So even though Tennessee isn't what they were probably last year because they don't have A.J. Brown, this ain't going to be easy.
No, and Washington's going to be underdogs going into that game, 2.5-point dog.
Yep.
I think I'd go back to our initial point about Carson at the line and the amount of freedom he gets. And this is a Scott Turner thing, too. He's been slow to adjust. You think about the second half of that Eagles game. The Eagles were daring them to run the ball. They were having moderate success when they were running the ball, but they never fully went to it. They stuck with their game plan, which was a lot of passing, which was, what they had drawn up in the preseason. Same thing yesterday. The Cowboys adjust. They start stacking the box. They really largely stick with their game plan at that point, which was a lot of runs. So I would put that on Turner's shoulders, but also the bigger question of how much is Wentz empowered to do something with that and read that. I think Logan Thomas on Micah Parsons is a great example. Like, is he seeing these things at the line? Is he just not empowered to do something with them? Because 2 weeks in a row now, the other team has made the adjustment to stop what Washington's doing, and we really haven't seen a counter-adjustment back.
Wondering if, because you mentioned the offensive line potentially getting irritated or frustrated with Carson Wentz and his lack of pocket presence, I'm wondering if guys like Terry McLaurin have voiced some frustration. What are you getting a sense of from the offensive teammates of Carson Wentz right now?
And the reason we all love Terry is because he doesn't have that mean bone in his body. Like the very closest he got was last week when he shared with us that he chatted with Scott Turner about the whole thing. And he, even that wasn't like, I went into Scott's office. I was like, you got to give me the ball. Like, let's go. It was, I went to Scott and he said, we're going to establish the run too. And I understand that because I just want to win. So, I think he'll probably do his best to keep that on the shelf. But Terry is really underutilized right now. And this is one that we really did see coming a little bit in training camp. And I think maybe chose to put the blinders on. Mm-hmm. Terry was Carson's third favorite receiver coming out of training camp. Carson loved Jahan. Everything that was going on there. And obviously, we didn't see a lot of Curtis Samuel, but it was clear he was going to be a big part of the offense. We saw more misses to Terry and drops or near catches from Terry than we have at any camp. And I wonder if Terry and Carson just really haven't quite got on the same page yet and just haven't clicked. Because I think if it's a game-on-the-line style throw, I think right now Carson wants to throw it to Jahan Dotson, not Terry.
And Dotson left that game with a little, I guess he tweaked his hammy. So hopefully that's not very serious. We were talking about this earlier. If they lose again to Tennessee and they're 1-4 and Wentz looks terrible again, the offense, do you think there's any shot they move on from Wentz this year, or are they all in for 17 games?
You know, Ron's such a late season guy. I think the reason he probably wouldn't pull the plug early is because all of his teams historically have surged late, but it's just, I mean, from your perspective, trying to get people to get excited about this team and what's going on, from our perspective, trying to get people to want to read about this team, the last thing anybody wants is two division losses early, maybe a 1-4 start, and then you surge and you end up 9-8 or sneak into a wild card at 10-7 and get the doors blown off in Green Bay in the first round. Like, that's just not, that's not a compelling season arc for the fans. Like, they want you to compete. They want you to be in the chase on, more than just, hey, if we put it together in November and December. But that's what Ron's teams do historically. So I think knowing that, Ron's probably not going to pull the plug on anything. If you look at the first opportunity for major change, maybe even after that Chicago game in a couple of weeks, it's the Thursday nighter, you get the long week if he wants to make some kind of tweak then. But, he was calm at the podium yesterday. Carson was calm at the podium yesterday. They're talking about how they're going to build on the good things that happened. I think the fans would like Ron to be a little madder than he is.
Yeah.
They lose to Philly, Ron's mad about the Jimmy Garoppolo report. They lose to Dallas, maddest he got yesterday was about the referees. I think they'd like a little fire and a little acknowledgement, but that's not who he is. Greg Olson mentioned that on the broadcast. He's a guy who's going to come in, play the positive clips from the game, tell everybody they're going to build on it, and largely he's been successful with that. He's had late-season surges, but I think everybody wanted something other than a late-season surge. They wanted to see that this team could compete for the division right out of the gate, and it didn't happen.
Michael, I can't be the only one that thinks that it was weird optics to see Dan Snyder with his frosted blonde hair sucking up to Jerry Jones at midfield.
Terrible khaki
before
pants.
The game. It was a weird appearance by Dan Snyder, and he makes a lot of weird appearances. That one's pretty much atop the list.
I don't know what's going on with the hair. I'll leave that to you guys to break down. But if you're going to kiss the ring, that's the ring to kiss. If you're gonna come out of the box once or twice a year, that Jerry World's the place you want to do it. You think about it, if he's fighting to hang on to this team, we've had the USA Today report and Florio and the Post have both say, there are owners who are itching to maybe move on from him. Nothing gets done in the NFL without Jerry Jones's approval. And so, Jerry has always been a big supporter of Dan and Dan has considered him a friend for a long time. I think if you're going to make one appearance in a given year, I think you do it on Jerry's turf, and I think you go kiss the ring and make sure that relationship's good, because he can save you from a lot of things in those league meetings.
All right, Michael, good stuff. Always appreciate talking to you. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care, guys.
See you, bro.
Right.
Thanks, Michael Phillips from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Remember, we've got RG3 joining us at 9:20, and we have some Caps season opener tickets to give away all in the 9 o'clock hour here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.